the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science.
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 162 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring Chain Reaction by Sam McDonald. I am your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from Base Camp in the Treasure Valley. Hello, everybody. So back last year when I started running the contest, the Journey Into Journey podcast, where I assigned people that were interested in being part of the contest, I assigned them the title of a journey song that they had to use as the title of their story. And they had to use, three or four phrases out of the lyrics of the song title that they were given in their story. And there was a word count in there too, and some other guidelines. But basically that was the gist of it. And so I think we had 10 people, maybe 11 people, that ended up submitting a story to the contest. And Gino Moretto and Keith Teklitz and I were the judges, and we came up with the winners. And today is the first story that's coming out of that contest here on the podcast. It's the third place winner by Sam McDonald. And it's a fun story. I really hope you enjoy it. It was kind of fun putting it together. It always takes me too long to put full cast stories together with everything else going on. But I knew that I had to give myself time. So I said in 2020 or 2021, I would get all of the stories out on the podcast. And so here I am. It's February of 2021. I better at least get the first one going here. You know, I actually don't know too much about Sam McDonald. I know that he is the author of the great review blog, The Audiophile. And I'll definitely link to his blog in the show notes. Sam goes by many other pseudonyms, such as Arthur Draconi, Castor Pollux, and the title character of this little story, Nick Grifalco. He was, and I believe still is, a frequent contributor to the Alternate History Weekly Update, and he was also once a map maker for the Twilight Histories podcast. So that sounds pretty interesting. He's also the person that introduced me to the Poe Theater on the Air podcast that I featured here last month. Again, if you want to know more, check him out over at the Audiophile blog that he runs and find out about all kinds of good audio podcasts you can experience. Other than this one, of course. But enough about Sam. Come with me, and let's journey into the amusement park.
Chain Reaction by Sam McDonald. What would you do for $100,000? Would you ride a roller coaster? Sounds simple enough. But what if you had to be the last one off the coaster? Oh, and you weren't going at it alone. There are 50 other people also competing to be the last one off that coaster. You get bathroom breaks every couple hours and 30 minutes for each of the three meals. Oh, and did I mention you're going to be sleeping on the coasters at night? You must be wondering who'd be crazy enough to something like that. Well, I'll have you know that crazy is my middle name. Well, actually, it's Mordecai. My first and second names are Nicholas and Grifalco. Now, I know I said I'm crazy, but I got a method to my madness. Pay close attention and take notes, because there will be a quiz when this is all over. First thing you need is a buddy to slog it out with you. Most people would get greedy and try and keep all the money for themselves. That, my dear listener, is what we would call a rookie mistake. Bigger risk may mean bigger reward, but it does not guarantee success. Besides, you can still do a lot with $50,000. Of course, don't get too many friends in on the gig, or you ain't walking away with much, especially after taxes. One friend, maybe two, will usually cut it. For me, that one friend was my pal Arthur Hickma. We've been pals since middle school, so I know he's just as insane as I am. Imagine Mr. Rogers, but he's Middle Eastern kind of looking, and that's what Arthur looks like. Having a buddy not only ensures you better odds of winning, but also provides you with companionship. And believe me, you need someone to help keep you entertained and relatively sane. Short breaks mean less time to recharge your phone, and you have to carefully ration your electronic entertainment. We also met Arthur's first girlfriend, Molly Stockwell, when we were all in middle school. That brings us to our next bullet point. Always have someone on the outside. Molly made no secret that she thought the contest was stupid. She made it no secret, but approximately 32 seconds later, she asked what the plan was. Her job was running food, drink, and other essentials to Arthur and me. Keeping in contact with her was a major reason why Arthur and I had to ration our electricity. Oh, the park has food and drink, but you don't want to make those your primary source of sustenance. As John Lennon famously put it, you get by with a little help from your friends. We'll discuss that in more detail in a minute. I've probably bored you enough with the pre-show. First, though, I ought to introduce you to our ride and gracious hosts. Isle of Wonder has been bringing fun to guests of all ages since 1947. It ain't exactly Disneyland or Universal Studios, but it's a nice little theme park. Went there myself as a kid, and I still love it. Now, while the park has its share of roller coasters, none compare to the Viper. She's a good old-fashioned wooden coaster. Sure, you can do loops and get some serious speeds on a steel coaster, but there's something to be said for the ride of a wooden roller coaster. Hey, I like that wooden coasters are a bit rough around the edges. Now, like I said, we start with 50 people, but that number dwindles pretty fast. For some, it was leg cramps. For others, it was getting stuck in the bathroom too long. The others still just didn't have the willpower to go that many rounds on the coaster. Sometimes it was stupid stuff you couldn't possibly account for. One guy got hit in the face by a bird when we were going downhill. Broke his nose. Then there was the girl who dropped out because her grandma died. I felt kind of bad for the two of them. Of course, then I remembered I was two steps closer to my prize money, and I felt a little better. We finally stabilized once we got down to about 7 people. There was AJ and Rocco near the front. Those two dudes are different as night and day. Rocco's black, flamboyant, and probably works as a fashion designer or a hairdresser. Hell, I don't know. I never felt inclined to ask the dude. AJ, by contrast, is white-ish, tends to speak in quotes from books and movies, and is so introverted I suspect he's autistic. Again, I was never inclined to ask. Still, they're both very gay and very much in love. Hey, if they can make it work, who am I to judge? Towards the middle of the train were Sean and Gwen. Sean looks exactly like I always envisioned the Greek god Hermes looking. He has curly hair, a pointy nose, and near-constant mischievous glints in his eyes. Now, as far as Gwen, you remember that movie about the Disney princess who winds up in the real world? Well, that's Gwen in a nutshell. She's sugary and sweet and wouldn't hurt a fly. The worst she ever done is the time she ran a red light. All the way in the back was Otis. He was the oldest of us, but I guess he was still young at heart. So we were all on the lunch break for the day. I noticed Rocco over at the Tex-Mex stand again. He'd been pining over that chicken burrito for well over a week now. Can't say I blamed him. Isle of Wonders made some mean burritos, but I was not about to let that chicken pass my lips. I'd done some extensive testing prior to the contest. From that, I'd determined that chicken gives you a serious case of the runs. Don't ask me why that is, it just does. Whatever the reason, eating chicken is a surefire path to elimination. I was totally tricking Rocco into eating that burrito. I strolled over to Rocco as though I didn't have a care in the world. Fortunately for me, we were on fairly friendly terms. I wouldn't go so far as to call Rocco a friend, but we chatted enough times. I'd sure had more conversations with him than Otis. I smiled at Rocco and put my arms around his shoulders. Hey, Rocco, crazy day we've been having, huh? Say, you weren't thinking about having some lunch, was you? Let me tell you, the chicken burritos are simply to die for. Why not get you one? Rocco licked his lips hungrily. Oh, don't I know it, but I'm on a diet, and I haven't exactly been getting exercise, and I've got these protein bars, and... I put my finger to his lips. I'm gonna stop you right there. That burrito's gonna be so good when you bite into it, and you know why it's gonna be good? Because you're in the final seven. You're within finger's length of that sweet, sweet prize money. Go on, have a cheat day. I won't tell if you don't. Rocco still looked uneasy, but then he pulled out his wallet. Well, if it's just between you and me... Next thing I knew, he had the burrito in his hand. He unwrapped the foil and practically inhaled the whole thing. Then he ordered a second chicken burrito without my prompting. Sucker. Oh, what I wouldn't have given to see the look on his face when those burritos hit his lower intestines. I gave him a pat on the back and returned to the table Arthur was at. Molly'd just arrived, and she was given one of those looks. It was one of those, some days I really wonder why I put up with you looks.
Wow, you're a man of honor and integrity.
Omelets and eggs, my dear Miss Stockwell. Omelets and eggs.
You're going to hell. You do know that, don't you?
I shrug. Yeah, I know. I'm okay with that. You got the goods? Molly produced two Tupperware containers, each containing an expertly made Cobb salad. See, when you do something crazy, like join a roller coaster contest, you gotta watch what you eat. Trust me, low carb, high fat is the way to go. Your body prefers burning fat rather than sugar, and your cells will thank you. You'll be alert and energetic, and you won't be nodding off. Remember, you won't get to lay down and stretch out except for nights and maybe a few breaks in between. Get your healthy fats like bacon, eggs, cheese, olive oil, fatty fish, but stay away from carbs. Most importantly, healthy fats won't irritate your bowels, and we've already established how important that is. So, we ate and we chatted. My conversations with Arthur and Molly tend to go to some pretty weird places. Weird, but that's what makes them fun. You know what? Why don't I show you what I mean? I'll jump straight into our chat without any of the context or lead-up. I mean, there's always been some LGBT representation on TV. Just look at Full House. Molly scoffed.
Seriously? Name one gay character from Full House. Just one.
Oh, please. Three unmarried dudes living in the same house in San Francisco? You really need me to do the math for you on that one?
But Uncle Jesse had a girlfriend.
Arthur chimed in. Doesn't prove anything. Maybe he's a B, not a G. But wait, there's more. Just hang in there. I promise we'll get back to the story in a moment. Anyway, a bit later out, conversation had moved on. I'm telling you, Percy Jackson's basically Jesus. He's the son of a god, he walks on water, he's been to the underworld and back a couple times. You could make a pretty good case that all the fans would count as worshippers. Ergo, the Percy Jackson fandom is a modern-day religion. Molly knitted her eyebrows and steepled her fingers.
That actually kind of makes sense. Arthur, you're the spiritual expert.
Arthur smiled and fiddled the collar of his shirt.
Well, I don't think anyone really believes Percy Jackson is real. Of course, many religions don't believe their stories to be literally true. But that being said, most do at least believe in a divine force of some sort. Well, Rastafari and certain branches of Buddhism and Hinduism don't necessarily. That is to say, fandoms can be wonderful things, but I don't know I'd go as far as to call them religions in the traditional sense.
See, wasn't that fun? Oh, probably should have mentioned this earlier, but Arthur's a prayer leader in the local Baha'i World Faith community. Keep that in mind. It's going to be important later. Also, kind of fitting that our conversation wandered to religion. You'll see why soon enough. Anyways, back to our regularly scheduled program. Lunch ended, and Arthur and I made our way back to the roller coaster. As we walked, I noticed Sean tossing an empty chicken nugget box into a garbage can. Dear God, this was shaping up to be an absolutely fantastic day. Next thing I knew, I was back on the roller coaster, continuing my endlessly looping journey to $100,000. Yet as the train completed circuit after circuit, I began to think about the roller coaster itself for the first time in a while. See, early Christians built labyrinths as a way to focus their minds and think about God. It was a practice they copied from the Greeks and Romans, but I have to admit, it always seemed kind of neat to me. Mind you, I'm not what you'd call religious in any sense of the word. Mom always tried to get me to care about the holidays, but my idea of celebrating Yom Kippur is enjoying a double bacon cheeseburger with a side of shrimp cocktail. Trying to get me to synagogue service was like pulling teeth out for poor Mom. Still, I couldn't help but notice how the roller coaster was kind of like a labyrinth. The motions had grown predictable and familiar, but that gave them a comforting, almost meditative quality. Around the bends, up and down the hills, around the track, in a great ellipse. It made me think about what I was doing with my life. Just where did I want to see myself? Corny. Cliche, I know, but it's all true. Honestly, I couldn't really say, and that bugged me. I kept on mulling that over well into the night. I lay awake, gazing up at the stars. Well, the ones I could actually see. Gotta love light pollution, am I right? Still, I thought about what my long-term goal was. See, I get bored if I'm stuck on one thing for too long. I scheme, but the rush never lasts for long. When I'm really in the groove of a scheme, that rush is better than the high of any drug. Trust me, I've done plenty of drugs, and nothing compares to the jolt I get from a scheme. So, what's the end game? I wondered aloud.
Actually, I was about to ask you the same question.
I sat bolt upright. I didn't recognize the voice, and I couldn't tell where it was coming from. In fact, it almost sounded like the voice came from within the roller coaster itself. Hello? Is someone there? I should have brought this up before, but drugs and roller coasters don't mix. For example, you don't want to go on a bad acid trip and then jump off the roller coaster right before it goes down a drop. You also don't want to get so high you chase after a butterfly while the train is parked. Point is, I had no drugs in my system when what happened next happened. Not even caffeine pills, because those suckers dehydrate you way too fast, so it ain't worth the boost. What happened next? Well, the front of the train reared up like a great dragon, centipede, snake thing. Honestly, it's kind of hard to describe. You really had to be there. The front of the train opened its eyes, which I didn't know it had until that point, and gazed down at me. I wanted to scream, but I had no voice. Looking back, I'm not sure I was so much scared as I was at a total loss for how to comprehend what I was seeing.
Be not afraid, for the track on which you ride is holy.
The train, no, not just the train, the entire roller coaster was speaking to me telepathically. I finally gained enough clarity to find my voice. Who? What are you?
I am what I am. I have been known by many names across the ages. In India, I was Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, among many others. When I dwelt in the land of your forefathers, I was Elohim, Yahweh, and Allah. I am Amun-Ra, and I am Pallas Athena. Still others know me as the Amaterasu, or Quetzalcoatl.
Okay, I'm gonna stop you right there, pal. If you really are God, or at least a God, let's see some proof. The train tilted its, well, I guess it was its head. It tilted its head at me quizzically, as though to examine me from a different angle.
I stand before you, and yet still you doubt.
Well, I'm just saying, there's a lot of people out there claiming to be Jesus and whatnot. And then the roller coaster proved it was God. Oh, how it proved it. I beheld the chains of existence that connect all things, animate and inanimate alike. One is all and all is one. Everything is connected in a get web of existence. None of us on island to ourselves. Whenever we perform an action, good or bad, it sets off a chain reaction. Shades of passion, drives of desire, waves of compassion, rays of love. These are what turn the universe. I gaze into the eye through which the universe beholds itself. All of time stretched before me like a great cosmic serpent. Oh, how could I have not seen it before? That's why the viper of all roller coasters spoke to me. The serpent eats its own tail, for existence is but a cycle. Creation, destruction, birth, and death, the Big Bang and Big Rip, all are but a part of the cycle. I walked on the savannah of Africa when mankind was newly evolved. Then I marched with bold Achilles and cunning Odysseus at the gates of Troy. I saw Manhattan instantly covered in buildings, and I stood on the moon as astronauts planted an American flag into the regolith. I witnessed humanity spread to the stars, and I watched alien life flowering on countless worlds across the universe. Throughout it all, I beheld the wondrous beauty of connection which binds us all. And then, just as soon as it had begun, I found myself on the roller coaster once again. Imagine seeing the most beautiful painting in the world, only to have it burned before your eyes. That's what coming back to reality was like. No, bring it back. I have to go back.
But if you did that, you'd forget to eat and drink. And if you did that, you'd never be able to show others the way.
Me? You want me to be your prophet? You really think they'll believe me?
They will doubt. They will cast aside your teaching. But you will make them listen. Be not afraid, for I am always with you. In the fullness of time, you shall work my wonders. They will stumble, they will stray from the path, but you will show the way. Lead them to ascend the world of matter and join the realm of spirit.
I don't suppose you could be a bit more specific. In that moment, the roller coaster granted me a few seconds of omniscience, and my path became clear. With that, the roller coaster rested on the track once again. It only later occurred to me that it sure was odd none of the other contestants had noticed the train rearing up and moving. It wasn't long before the sun rose over the horizon. I'd seen plenty of sunrises before, but this one seemed especially beautiful. The park was empty, but I knew I was not alone, and I don't just mean because of the other contestants. I knew who I needed to get on my ride, but I also knew that wasn't going to be an easy task. Religion was always the one thing me and Arthur vehemently disagreed on. It was pretty much the only subject that caused us to get into shouting competitions. He's a devout Baha'i, and up until that point, I'd been a fairly staunch atheist. In retrospect, I admit I was kind of... Okay, I was a pretty big jerk about it. Oh, don't give me that look. From where I was standing, Arthur and his religious pals always seemed so blatantly wrong. It was like they were being willfully ignorant of the world. Still, we'd agreed to disagree and tried our best to avoid bringing up any religion. We'd done that, but this was going pretty thorny. I waited till it got closer to opening time to broach the subject. Artie, I really need you to bear with me here. I got some questions about religion. No trick. I swear I'm not leading you on. Look, I'm confused and frankly a little scared, and you're the only guy I'd trust to get me through this. So, what do you say? Arthur, despite some initial hesitation, smiled warmly at me. See, didn't I tell you he was like Mr. Rogers?
Oh, really? What's on your mind?
Okay, here goes. So, an infinite God, like one beyond time and space, can take many forms, right?
Yes, many religions would say so.
Well, in that case, could God be a roller coaster? Arthur's smile was immediately replaced by a disappointing frown.
Oh, I see how it is. Nicholas, I would really, really appreciate it if we could not go through this again. Especially here, of all places.
The roller coaster was right. Arthur hadn't listened. In that moment, I decided to up the stakes. I'd bring the message of the roller coaster to all the contestants at once. Jesus had the Sermon on the Mount, Buddha had the Deer Park Sermon, and this would be my sermon for the ages. I spoke of the wonders and glories of the universe that the roller coaster had shown me. I spoke of the unity of all things within the universe. I spoke of the need to transcend the fettering of the flesh and join the realm of pure spirit. However, I also explained that there would be some rule and regulations needed to achieve this goal. For example, yellow foods must not be eaten on Wednesday, unless it's a holiday or birthday. Also, all unmarried women must wear their pants backwards. Sadly, anime was also a no-no. As an otaku, that one in particular killed me, but I wasn't the one making the rules. Apparently, the roller coaster considered anime a mistake. Obviously, riding roller coasters would be a sacrament. Any would do, but I figured that my flock ought to make a point of riding the Viper at least once in their lives. It could be our equivalent to the Hodge, or the Isle of Wonder would be our Mecca. The roller coaster had mentioned us using Kool-Aid for certain rituals, but I figured I'd better save that one for later. I didn't give them all the rules at once, but I figured I could officially pen the holy book after the contest was over. My reception... well, it left something to be desired. AJ was completely focused on his Rubik's Cube. Otis had fallen asleep halfway through the sermon, and Arthur just folded his arms and shook his head the whole time. Sean had paid attention, but the roller coaster had told me to watch out for him. Well, at least Gwen was clapping enthusiastically.
Ooh, I want to join your roller coaster religion. But I have a few questions, like, what's your position on gay people?
All are welcome, regardless of race, gender, or sexuality. There's room on the roller coaster for everyone. Well, except for people from Kiribati or Nauru, but they can be saved if they move to basically any country besides Belgium or Liechtenstein. After that, they only need to ride a roller coaster 5 times in a row, and they're welcome into the flock.
And when you say no yellow foods on Wednesday unless it's a birthday, does that mean your birthday? Or can you be celebrating a friend's birthday? And do the holidays have to be from our religion, or do other holidays count?
Ah, an excellent question. If I'm being honest, I really don't know. The roller coaster never specified. Arthur interjected.
Huh, interesting. So, you've got all these rules, but even you don't understand them?
You say that, but yet religions you stick up for have deforested whole nations with all the paper they wasted arguing about rules, I countered.
I'll pretend I didn't hear that. But tell me, what would God need with a roller coaster?
Why did Buddha meditate under a fig tree? Why did Jesus use bread and wine for communion? Why did Moses write on stone tablets? There was nothing inherently special about any of those things. They were simply what was around at the time. Come on, Artie, you always say that religion changes with the times. That's what Baha'u'llah always said, and he was God's favorite prophet. Arthur sighed.
We've been over this. Baha'u'llah is the founder of Baha'i, and the most recent of the prophets. But he's by no means the last prophet.
Oh, so you admit that other religions can pop up in the future?
Not if they involve roller coasters.
Whoa. Let me get this straight. Muhammad moves a mountain. Not crazy. Jesus turns water to wine. Not crazy. Buddha walks on a diamond path in the sky. Not crazy. A roller coaster tells me the secrets of the universe and somehow totally crazy and unbelievable.
First off, those stories are based on ancient teachings. Second, don't miss the forest for the trees. A story doesn't have to be literally true to be spiritually true.
Everything old was new at some point. Tell me, were Hinduism and Shinto just not true when they first came out? How many years, ballpark estimate, did it take before they were respectable enough to be real? Oh, and what about Santeria and Baha'i? How long did they take? At this point, Arthur was really white-knuckling the edges of his car. Though, to his credit, he was actually doing a pretty good job of maintaining his composure. I'll save us all some trouble and deliver 3 truths. 1, evolution via natural selection is irrefutably real and is perfectly compatible with belief in God. 2, LGBT rights are human rights, and LGBT people should be welcomed into the community of believers just the way they are. 3, God gave us thinking brains, rational minds, and he expects us to use them. There was an awkward silence for a few minutes after that. Eventually, AJ, of all people, looked up from his Rubik's Cube and offered his 2 cents.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Thank you, AJ,
said Arthur.
My mom always said life is like a box of chocolates.
Arthur cleared his throat.
Yes, I suppose so. Oh, goodness, I think it's almost time for breakfast break. My, where does the time go?
This was my chance to win Arthur over. It was time to break out the heavy artillery. I stood up. Yes, the roller coaster was stopped. I'm crazy, not insane. Let's take it from the top. I stood up, raised my arm into the air in a dramatic flourish, and pointed at Otis. Otis! Otis, whose last name escapes me.
Campbell?
Otis Campbell, you have loyally ridden the tracks in your quest for riches and enlightenment. You have done well, but you shall not see your reward, for you are fated to die. In fact, you shall die right about now. Otis took a few steps off the roller coaster, clutched his chest, and dropped to the ground. And so it came to pass, just as the roller coaster had foretold. Admittedly, I was a bit confused about why we didn't just convert Otis, but I wasn't about to question the will of the roller coaster. And hey, nobody would be able to dispute my position as a prophet of God. I turned to my flock to see they were all staring in horror. Gwen had her hands over her mouth in shock. Sean looked like he wanted to curl into a ball, and even AJ had dropped his Rubik's Cube. I could hear Arthur muttering, "Mercy, mercy," under his breath. That's about the saltiest word in his lexicon, so you know he thinks something serious when he says mercy. I gestured towards my flock, but they all backed away in fear. I stepped towards them slowly, trying my best to avoid sudden movements, but they just kept backing away.
I'm very concerned about how violent this religion has become,
said Gwen, all the color drained from her face. Oh, no, no, no. You misunderstand. I didn't kill him. It was simply his time to go. The roller coaster granted me this knowledge so that I might show its awesome power to all of you.
You killed Otis, and you're gonna kill all of us,
stammered Sean. This wasn't the optimum time to carry out the next part of the roller coaster's will, but orders were orders. I pointed my index finger at Sean. Poor sap looked like he was 3 seconds away from wetting his pants in terror. Ah, dearest Sean, we've been watching you. Tell me, why is that you never seem to take bathroom breaks these last few days? Could it be that you're hiding something? Something that might give you an unfair advantage in this competition. What happened next, all things considered, was not my finest moment. I was so wrapped up in the spirit and righteousness of my cause. That's really saying something, considering all the shenanigans I've gotten into over the years. You know, there was this one time in Dallas, but you don't need to hear about that right now. As I was saying, I rushed forward, grabbed Sean by the shirt, and held my face mere inches away from his. The roller coaster's got eyes, Shawnee boy. It sees you. It sees your sins. He is an angry God and wants to punish you. Confess, Shawnee boy, or be a sinner on the tracks of an angry roller coaster. Repent, so you won't be just one more casualty. Sean was a complete blathering mess at this point. He pulled down his pants to reveal a very soggy adult diaper. Specifically one that was the exact shade of yellow as movie theater popcorn. I'd suspected he was up to something like this, and the roller coaster had confirmed my suspicions.
No, no, I don't want to go to roller coaster hell. I admit it. I had a buddy sneak me some adult diapers. I cheated. I won't do it again. I'm getting out of this contest. I quit.
Sean tried to bolt for the park's exit, but he fell flat on his face because he forgot to pull up his pants. He quickly rectified this problem, and he was on his merry way. The park had already called the paramedics for Otis, but he was already dead by the time they arrived. Honestly, I was more worried that the park would pull the plug on the contest. Thankfully, that didn't happen, and those of us left got an even longer breakfast break. I just needed to get rid of AJ and Gwen, and the prize would be all mine. Granted, I wasn't sure how this jived with spreading the word of the roller coaster. Still, I was fairly certain that the roller coaster wanted me to win the contest. I could always use the money to further his faith. Arthur, Gwen, and AJ were huddled around a table with Molly. Arthur was clutching a large leather-bound book in his hands. It was a custom-made tome collecting different writings from several religious figures and thinkers. I locked eyes with Arthur and smirked at him. Hey, I said this wasn't one of my finer moments, didn't I? Oh, you gonna exercise me? So what's the plan? Jumping jack? Sit-ups? Maybe some water aerobics?
Nicholas, listen to me. This religion of yours is getting out of hand. It used to be mildly offensive, but now it's turning into the theme park Taliban.
Come on, Artie. We both know Otis was going to kick the bucket one of these days. I chuckled.
You're laughing? Otis is dead. And you're laughing.
Prophet Grifalco, what happened to your teachings of love and unity?
Asked Gwen. Oh, they haven't gone anywhere. But let's not mistake the forest from the trees. The will of the roller coaster must be followed if we are to break the chains of flesh. The roller coaster doesn't want to hurt anyone. Well, except for Zoroastrians. They must be tied to the tracks and run over by the trains. But I guess that doesn't mean we can't listen to any songs made by Queen, since Freddie Mercury was a dirty Zoroastrian. Again, I don't make the rules, I just enforce them. Oh, and while we're on the subject, the roller coaster isn't too keen on Rastafarians either. Arthur gripped his holy book tighter.
All right. I'll make you a wager. Let's see whose god is mightier. You and I will ride the roller coaster sitting down. No bathroom breaks, no meal breaks, no laying down to sleep. We have only our faith in our gods. Last one sitting has the better god. And gets all of the prize money. I mean, it shouldn't be too hard for you. After all, you do have home field advantage.
Oh, let it never be said that Arthur Hickma lacks a wild side. So there we were, the final two, since Gwen and AJ had decided they wanted no part in our battle of faiths. I assumed the position and concentrated my mind on the motions of the roller coaster. The clatter of metal wheels against wooden track, the rush of wind during drops, the reassuring jostle so common to wooden coasters. And yet, as we rode, I couldn't help but feel a little voice in the back of my head. No, not the reassuring voice of my looped god, but rather a nagging doubt. What if Arthur was right, and everything I'd bore witness to was all in my head? I'd loyally served my god for, well, less than a day, admittedly. Still, my devotion surely counted for something, didn't it? Why wouldn't the roller coaster let me see the connection of all things once again, even if only for a minute? More to the point, why wouldn't it show them to Arthur? If ever there was a time for the divine coaster to speak up, it would be now. I thought back to the words the roller coaster had spoken to me.
In the fullness of time, you shall work my wonders.
I closed my eyes and gripped the front of my car. At first it was faint, but then I could feel it. The power of the roller coaster flowed through me. Faster and faster it grew until it was ready to burst and... Wait, no, never mind, it was just gas. Still, despite it all, I never wavered in my vigil, and neither did Arthur. We continued our endlessly looping journey. How long we orbited that track, I can't say. After a while, I lost count, and even the changes in lighting began to lose their meaning to me. Hunger, thirst, and exhaustion were my constant companions. Still, even if I was losing my mind, I couldn't lose hope. For if I did, Arthur and Molly would never let me hear the end of it. That motivated me through the long, dark night. Well, it wasn't that long in hindsight, but my sense of time was completely shot, so it did seem to last forever. Of course, every night must yield to morning. There was no fanfare or crescendo when it happened. At first, it took me a moment to register that anything was out of the ordinary. Then, it finally clicked. Arthur had gotten off the train. I'd done it. I'd actually done it. Victory was mine. Praise the coaster. I leapt to my feet and threw my hands into the air. I had my eyes closed and I opened them to find... that I was laying down in a hospital bed. No, really. I had IVs in my arm, a heart rate monitor, the full nine yards. Oh no, had I been in a coma? Had the whole contest been nothing more than a dream? I glanced around frantically until I noticed Arthur and Molly sitting on a couch. The money! The contest!
Don't worry, it'll arrive in the mail in a couple days,
Molly assured me. Oh, that's a relief. So, then all of this?
Well, you stayed almost perfectly still during our little contest of faith. So, you had a lot of blood accumulating in your lower body. Once you stood up, it all rushed toward your upper body, and you blacked out. Honestly, it was a blessing in disguise. The doctor said you were one of the most dehydrated patients she's ever encountered.
Said Arthur. I did my best to smile and awkwardly chuckled. I guess we did get a bit out of hand there towards the end.
Well, actually, the doctor said it looked like you'd been low on water for at least a couple days.
And that your brand of dehydration has been known to result in some pretty wild hallucinations.
Molly added rather pointedly. Come to think of it, I did neglect my water needs when I was chatting with Arthur and Molly. And you know, it was fairly warm on that day. And the rules of the roller coaster religion were awfully similar to a joke I'd once made. So yeah, it turns out it really was all in my head after all. Still, I had to save face somehow. I mean, I have always been kind of spiritual.
You celebrated Hanukkah by trampling a Torah and burning an Israeli flag. Just in case you forgot,
said Molly. I ain't got any comeback for that. Artie, I know I put you through a lot of grief, so I'm giving you a freebie just this once. Sell me on religion. I promise I ain't gonna make fun of you or make any snide remarks. Arthur drummed his fingers against his book and stared down at the floor.
Fair enough. I'll give you a freebie as well. There are times, more so than I'd like to admit, when I wonder if I'm actually accomplishing anything. Some days, I wonder if I'm praying to silence. But I still keep going, because I have to. Religion has done some pretty bad things. I'm not trying to deny that. It's like this. A lot of people just can't handle a world where someone isn't looking out for them. They need reassurance that there is a plan and that everything is going to work out. Maybe it's all bunk, but it's bunk that helps people. In the end, does that make it so bad?
Wouldn't it be better to get to teach them to walk without the crutch? Arthur shrugged.
Well, some people never stop needing it. You, and millions of other people, can get by without religion. That's great. That is to say, great that it works for you, but not everyone has your fortitude. But for me, it's more than just that. I truly believe that a higher power watches over us. Well, I can't say for certain, but that's why we call it faith. I think, when you get down to it, everyone has a bit of the truth, but nobody has the whole truth. It's what drew me to Baha'i, though I concede it's far from a perfect religion.
I took a deep breath and then let it out slowly. Would you feel better if I came to your next assembly, meeting, thing? I'm not converting, I just wanted to support my buddy and all that. Well, that, and I kind of owe you for not strangling me throughout all this. Molly got up and inspected the various tubes and wires sticking out of me.
Oh, don't mind me. Just making sure you aren't on any drugs.
Arthur smiled politely.
Well, that sounds lovely, Nicholas. But we need to get you out of this hospital first.
Hey, now that I'm $50,000 richer, I might leave a nice big donation on the plate. Arthur and Molly exchanged an uneasy look before Molly handed me a folded piece of paper.
It's $40,000 after taxes, but, take a look for yourself.
For those of you playing at home, did you guess the paper was a hospital and ambulance bill? Ding, ding, ding. You are correct. Now for the double or nothing bonus question. How much was the bill? Did you guess $40,000? Rather unfortunately, that is also correct. Well, boys and girls, what did we learn today? We learned that money will make you do some pretty stupid things. Take it from me. I speak from experience.
The cast list for this story: Norm Sherman as Nicholas Grifalco, and the narrator of the story. I think he did Rocco's lines as well. Dave Robison as the roller coaster god. Bria Burton as Stacy. Tina Kolakowski as Gwen. Rish Outfield as Sean. Big Anklevich as AJ. And I, lovable Viril Marshall, as Arthur. Oh, and Otis also. So there you go. There's Chain Reaction by Sam McDonald, the third place winner in the Journey into Journey contest. As I said in the beginning, I had help in judging this contest. Gino Moretto and Keith Teklitz were my fellow judges. And basically we ranked each story and then the accumulative score determined the winner. The winners, I should say. I remember reading this story and liking it quite a bit. I thought it was a lot of fun. And, you know, it dealt with religion in a humorous way, but somewhat serious way. There's some interesting conversations there about religion. But in general, the whole thing with the roller coaster god and Nicholas as this prophet and all the antics that happen with all the different roller coaster contest participants. It was a lot of fun. And looking back, I'm really glad that it won the contest and I was able to produce this episode because it was loads of fun. You know, as I reread it for like the third time and thought about how I was going to put it together for production, it really started to come together and I had a lot of fun with it. You know, I think all of these stories, as I was reading them, I was measuring, you know, how would this sound in audio? And hopefully you feel after listening to it that it really does work well in audio. First of all, we have the narrator that's talking directly to the audience. And it's a first-person narrator of the story. So that automatically lends itself to doing very well in audio. But I needed to get the right music. I needed to get the right feel. The casting was important. And so casting, you know, the more I thought about it, I'm like, nobody can read this better than Norm Sherman. Norm Sherman, of course, hopefully you know. If not, stop listening and go listening to the latest Drabblecast podcast. And then you can come back and listen to me talk some more. you know, the big daddy of fiction podcasts, I think for most people, was Escape Pod. But Norm Sherman came along and just kind of blew the doors off of fiction podcasting. You know, he tells strange stories for strange listeners. And, you know, his voice for his podcast, you know, has those strange story elements to it. And several of the stories that I run here on this podcast, I would say are strange or comical or, you know, have that similar vibe at times. And I'm really incapable of telling you what I think the voice of the Journey Into podcast is. You know, variety is what I've always been going for. You know, that's why I have the old-time radio shows and the full cast. And every once in a while, I'll do just a straight narration read. But I like to have serious stories. I like to have, you know, the science fiction stories. I like to have the silly stories and the fantasy stories and the, you know, just, I like variety. And I like providing that to you. And hopefully you enjoy that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening. Anyway, where was I? Norm Sherman. I consider Norm Sherman the god of podcasting because he has it all. He has the humor. He has the voice. He has the knack of picking great stories to run on his podcast. And he has the music ability. And he can ad lib really easily, you know, way better than I am not an ad libber. I really have to kind of know what I'm saying before I start. And so I've always looked up to Norm. I think he's the whole package. He's the whole enchilada. He's the big deal. But he's also been very approachable and nice and encouraging, you know, in the things that he does. And so I reached out to Norm and asked him to narrate this story, to be the main narrator. And I couldn't have asked for a better narration. He just captured the spirit of the story and and the feel I was going for. He brought out all the comedy bits. Just phenomenal in what he did with the story, I think. And as for who would voice the roller coaster god, I had to go with Dave Robison, because he was my Iron Giant or whatever that was in the Knicks, and he's read all the Poe stories for me. His volume and his voice was a perfect depiction of what I would think a roller coaster god would sound like. So, and there were a lot of different characters in this story, but most of them had very few lines, other than Arthur, who I voiced, because not only is it my prerogative to pick who I want to voice because I'm the producer, but I thought I could really pull off Arthur pretty well and be kind of the straight man to Nicholas's craziness. And hopefully, again, that worked for you. And to me, the funniest moment of the whole thing was when Sean gets outed for having adult diapers, and he's freaking out, and he pulls down his pants and then tries to run and falls over. That makes me laugh every time I hear it. And so I wanted somebody with those comic chops to play Sean, and I thought Rish, of course, did a great job with that as well. And we had Big Anklevich in there, and Bria Burton doing a great performance as Arthur's girlfriend, Stacy, and Tina Kolakowski always does a great job in there as well. So appreciate all the voice actors and everybody that lent their talents to this story. I literally could not do this without the help from great voice talent. So thanks, Norm. Thanks, everybody, for helping me out with this. And thanks, Sam McDonald, for writing this story and submitting it to the contest. Hopefully the production of it lived up to your expectation, because you've had to wait a little while for it to come on the podcast. That's about all I have to say about this. I thought it was a fun little story, and there's two left in these contest winners. Next, you'll hear Troubled Child by Rish Outfield. It definitely won't be next month that I play that one, but maybe we'll hear from it in April. Maybe I'll be able to have the production done on that by April. We'll see. Again, I have the whole year to get all these done. I'm glad I gave myself that room to do that. But we have that to look forward to. And I'll be back with more stories for you. And of course, there's the Delusions of Grandeur and the Outfield Excursions and the old-time radio shows that'll be coming up here. So there'll be plenty for you to listen to as you're waiting for the next contest winner. So until next time, kids, stay safe out there and journey on.
You guys should have this Creative Commons thing down by now. Say it with me. The Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative License. This means that you can share this podcast with whoever you would like, but please do not change it or sell it. And let people know where you got it from. The theme music for this podcast is provided by Man in Space.
Repent, so you won't be just one more causality. Casualty, dang it.